Okay, today we're going to continue our Red series. Now, I'm loving the reports I'm getting back from many people are saying, Pastor, this series is life-changing for me. It's becoming life-changing for me. I ran into somebody the other day in the convenience store. They said, Pastor Gene, I said, how you doing? They said, I don't know if you recognize me or know who I am, but I've been coming to church, and this Red series is changing my life. I can't get enough notes. It's changing me as I'm understanding how big God's grace is for our life. And so my prayer is that this will transform you, be a life-changing series. Nothing I can tell you, nothing I've ever taught here at Destiny has personally transformed my life like this revelation of the power of Jesus' blood in our life. So last week we talked about, are we married to grace? The Bible says we used to be married to the law, but that we die to ourselves, therefore we're released of the law and allowed to marry grace. It's this beautiful bride that we have. It's called the grace of God. It's given to us. And no longer are we living under the dominion of the law, but now we're free to live for grace, to serve grace, and to be married to grace. Now, today I want to talk to you about the thought of finding balance, the balance of grace and law. Last week, we learned a lot about the law, how we've been divorced from the law. We're no longer married to the law. We're married to grace, if you're a Christian today. But where does the law fall in our life? And what I want to do is make sure that we are teaching the balanced word of the Scripture. It's not just about taking one theme and reading all the Scripture on that one theme. But let's make sure we bring the balance of God's word. Everybody say balance. That's an important word to remember when you're studying out Scripture, that we look at the balance of God's Word so that I can have a healthy view and a healthy viewpoint, and I don't just run. If we just take grace by itself and run with it, we get this hyper view of grace that tells me I can just go out here and do anything I want. It's okay. And that's not the case. There's a reason for the law. I've been given the freedom and grace. It takes off the pressure from me, but at the same time, the law does have a place in our life, and I want to bring that balance to you today. Let's read the text we read last week in Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Someone say, amen for that. How many are thankful for God's amazing grace? We are not under the law, but now we are under grace. So what does the purpose of law have in our life? If we're not under it, Pastor, we're under grace. What is the purpose for the law in my life? Matthew 5:17 and verse 18. This is what Jesus said about the law. He goes, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Are you following me here this morning? Jesus came to fulfill the law. And when Jesus fulfilled the law, he was saying this, that you and I, we were not good enough on our own. We could never fulfill the law. It was too hard for anybody else to fulfill. But Jesus came and he lived this life. He fulfilled the life of God. He fulfilled what God had asked him to do, fulfilling the law, living up to the law. And he came as a fulfillment of the law. Why? This is important because he's the only one who's ever fulfilled the law. The rest of us fall short of the glory of God. The rest of us, whether we have one sin or we have a million sins, the Bible says we're all the same, that we all come short of God's glory. Only one person has ever fulfilled the law, and that was Jesus. And this is the great news, is that when we allow ourselves to be covered with the blood of Jesus by accepting the work of the cross, Jesus died on the cross in the garden. Remember in the garden, the door was shut because of the sin. Adam and Eve allowed the sin to come into the world. The door was shut between man and God. Jesus reopened that door, and when he died on the cross, he applies to our life, if you believe in it, he applies the blood to our life, reopening the door now to the Father, where we can be in relationship, the Bible says, in right standing, made righteous before God because of the blood of Jesus. Come on, someone say amen for that. Isn't it awesome? Yes. And Jesus was the only one who could do that because he's the only one who fulfilled the law. So where does the law fall in our life? I'm going to give you four purposes of the law in every believer's life. Number one, the law is a master. It's a master. Look what Galatians 3:24 says. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. That word just kind of makes me shake when I even look at it. I get kind of nervous when I think about some of the schoolmasters, some of the teachers I was under. It says, the schoolmaster to what? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So therefore, we see this happening, that the law was set before us to show us God's standard. And we realize when we look at the law that all of us come short of God's standard. And we look at that and say there's only one way to meet God's standard, and it's by the one who fulfilled the law, and his name was Jesus. So the more I see the law, the more I realize I need Jesus. Not only at salvation do I need Jesus to cover my door and open it back up in fellowship with God, but I need Jesus every day of my life. I need Jesus' blood every day of my life. I need Jesus every day of my life because I'm always falling short of the kingdom of God. And without Jesus, I can never fulfill the law in my life. And so the law continues to remind me of how much I really need Jesus. Not just a one-time thing. Well, Pastor, I received Jesus when I asked him into my heart. Yes, you did. But every day you need to realize I need Jesus every day of my life. I need to commune with Jesus. I need Jesus just to be in communion with me. I need this relationship to develop because I need Jesus. We're not good enough on our own. We all need Jesus. And it reminds me of this every day, how bad I really need Jesus. There's no way for us to achieve God's standard except through Jesus. Now, it says the law was a schoolmaster. Now, I remember the first teacher I ever had. How many remember that first teacher you ever had? Some of you are going to kind of relate to me this morning. I remember the first teacher I ever had. She carried around a ruler. Anybody remember the teacher's ruler? How many remember when the teachers carried around a ruler? And she would walk up, and if I was not paying attention, like that ever happened. But if I was not paying attention, and maybe I was talking to somebody, maybe I was trying to doze off or whatever, she'd come up and she would slap that desk. Pow! Mr. Beebe, sit up in my classroom. Mr. Beebe, pay attention in my classroom. Mr. Beebe, I know you're not talking to your neighbor in my classroom. Mr. Beebe, did you do your homework? Mr. Beebe, Mr. Beebe. That name was said so many times in class. Mr. Beebe, won't you stand and tell us all the answers to this question? Sometimes she would come by and bam, just like that, put that ruler upside my head. How many remember those days when you could do that? Now you get a lawsuit, but bam, Mr. Beebe, pay attention. I lived through it. I know. It was horrible. Oh, we were so abused. And anyway, it's a schoolmaster task, and she would come and she would do all these things. And then I would also remember the teachers who came along beside me later on in life who would come along and maybe I was struggling with something. And they would get down on one knee. And then they'd put their arm around my chair and be like, all right, Mr. Beebe, what seems to be the problem? Why aren't you getting this? Tell me, what do you not understand? And let's talk about it. And they'd work through and they would gently put their arm around my chair or on my shoulder and talk me through my problem, and I would say, this is what I'm not understanding. How does this happen? And they would walk me through it, and they would help me without embarrassing me in front of the whole class, without calling my name out in front of the whole class. And they would inspire me to go on to learn, and inspire me to go on to make better grades, and inspire me to go on to achieve more. And this is really, you know, what would happen. I mean, I still had fear to this day of going to my kids to parent-teacher conferences. Anybody had the feeling? Don't talk. I had to go to my parent-teacher conferences with my kids, and I would get nervous because they never turned out good for me when I was in school. I didn't know how this was going to turn out either. So I'd walk in, and my child and the teacher start talking, and I'd be kind of looking around the room, looking at everything, and they're talking, and all of a sudden, their words kind of disappear like Charlie Brown's teacher. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, I hear, "Mr. Beebe, does anybody in your family have ADD?" And I'm like, "Listen, you don't have to spell it out. I can add, okay? Listen. Of course we can add. Now, what'd you say? Anyway, you know, let's just talk about it here. We had some concentration issues, and, you know, we would go through. And it just made me so, so tense because I knew that, man, if I didn't do it right, I was going to get in trouble. I was going to get called out. And then I had the other teachers who were just the opposite who come along beside me, kneel, and encourage me, help me through. Now, which teacher did you like best? How many had teachers like that? Anybody? I can relate to that, okay? So which teacher did you like best? The one who showed you grace, right? The one who encouraged you. The one who got down and related to you. You see, this is what happens in our life. The law continues to show us and point out what we're doing wrong. And it also shows us how big God's grace is in our life. That it wraps its arms around us and it encourages us to do better. It encourages us, inspiring us. Come on, you can do something with your life. Come on, there's a bigger purpose for your life. Come on, you can get out of this rut you're in. Come on, you can advance this year. Come on, you can do something. When we allow the law to be the motivation, or do we allow the grace to motivate us? The more I see the law and the schoolmaster it was, the more I'm free to excel in the grace that God has for my life. Come on now, we've been set free by grace, and it allows me to walk in this new, amazing relationship with the Father. The law always pointed out what I was doing wrong, but grace sets me free. You know, I'm going to tell you a story today. It's been a while since I shared this story. A few of you have heard it. Some of you have never heard the story before. But I'm going to tell you about one of the most amazing jobs I've ever had in my life. I graduated high school, and then I went to college. And in the state of Oklahoma, after one semester of college, you would actually, if you applied, you could actually apply and legally become a substitute with one semester of education as long as you were still enrolled in college. And so I remember I graduated, and then in the fall, I enrolled in school, and I had one semester under my belt. And then for the spring semester, I went and applied. I was like, this would be a pretty big gig. I can go substitute, read some Sports Illustrated, you know, whatever. And this is pretty easy money. I like this. I can do this. And so I went down, and I applied, and they accepted me, can you believe it or not, after one whole semester of education to be a substitute teacher. So the first week, they sent me to this elementary age school, and I was like loving it. It was like Billy Madison. Let's play dodgeball. You know, I'm in there throwing the ball hard, and we're having fun, and it's a great thing. You know, this is great. I'm hitting home runs off the kids every day on the field. This is great. This is reliving your childhood, you know, having a great time. And the second week, they called me in a panic on Monday morning and said, "Gene, we got an emergency. We are short of substitutes at the high school. And would you be willing to go back to Muskogee High School and substitute today? We're really desperate. This is not what we usually do. You're kind of young, but we really need a substitute." And so I had to pause a second and think. So you're asking me to go back where I was at already this year? You mean like one semester ago where I was at? Go back to high school, be there with all my friends and former teammates, walk the halls with some of the girls I've dated, you know, come on. And you're going to pay me to go hang out back at my high school? I'm like, sign me up. I will be, yeah, sure, I'll be right there. And so I remember I went and I put a tie on that day, dressed up nice, got my dad's briefcase, emptied it out. I put every Sports Illustrated I had inside that briefcase. The newspaper. I walked downstairs and checked in at the office. And of course, the whole office was like, oh my God. All my principals and administrators, they were all like, oh God, help us. Our school is going to hell today. It's over. So we're all down there having a big chuckle at my expense. They're loving it, you know, how the tide has turned. And so I wait until the bell rings, and everybody's in the classroom. And I go to the door. This is no lie. I went to the door, and I swung open the door as wide as I could, and I walked right through it, serious face, slammed my briefcase down on the desk. I went to the board and said, "Hello, class. My name is," I was spelling that as Mr. BB. And I turned around, and they were like, "This is amazing!" And they start clapping. They're going crazy. They're like, "Yes!" They're high-fiving me. "This is awesome! This is great!" I'm like, "Calm down, calm down, calm down." I had to get them to calm down. I said, "Listen, here's your worksheet. This is what I want you to do. Guys, listen, just do me a favor. Everybody be quiet. Do the worksheet. And once you've completed the work, if somebody's completed it next to you who's done, you can feel free to talk to them in a quiet manner. Just be respectful of those trying to complete it. And then I don't care if you talk once you're done with your work." And so they get down on it, get busy with it. They all complete it. And they start talking, and we leave, and it's a good time. They're high-fiving me. "See you tomorrow. How long we have you? This is great." And after a couple of days, they call me down to the office. They said, "We need to talk to you." And I was like, "Oh, great. Here we go. I blew it again. You know, what did I do?" I was thinking, this has never turned out good when they call me down to the office, Tim. I'm used to this, and it never turns out good. I walked down there nervous. I said, "We need to talk to you." I said, "What?" They said, "The teachers are just blown away and amazed. They have never, ever had a substitute get 100% of the work turned back in. Like, every time we give you an assignment, you get 100% of it turned. What's the secret? We want to know, what are you doing different? Why are you able to inspire them?" And I just thought about it. I was like, "Oh, I didn't really think about it that way." I started thinking about it, and the reason why I was able to get the students to do all the work and respond in a healthy way was simply this. As I came in, I was able to relate to them. I didn't come in trying to have dominion over them because I had just graduated, you know, a half the semester before. I had just attended school the following last year with them, so I knew there's no way I was going to come in with this authority figure and try to gain their respect. Instead, I came in being able to relate to them, and they respected me because I was relating to them, and I had just been where they were at. And this is the way that we're talking about the difference between law and grace in our life is this. The Bible says that we do not have a high priest who cannot understand. He understands what we've been through, that Jesus has walked in our shoes. He has been tempted in every way we've been tempted in. So he understands everything we've gone through. So when we mess up and we don't make a good score in our test and we've messed up in the test of life, he says, "Dad, just a second. I know the law says this, and I know the law is heavy on this, but Dad," with the arm around, says, "Dad, I've walked in your shoes. Dad, I know what they're going through. Dad, remember you set me down to be there and to walk with them, to understand and to talk with them. And now," he says, "Dad, I understand what they're going through. Dad, show them a little mercy. Dad, show them a little grace. Dad, I've been in their shoes because we have a high priest who is our advocate to the Father, who goes before us to the Father, defending us. It's called grace. We don't deserve it, but it's given to us." That's the difference between having the law rule you versus allowing having grace rule your life. Somebody give God a hand clap for his grace. Number two, write this down. The law becomes a mirror. The law becomes a mirror. It reflects the standard of God. The law is there to show me God's standard. It reflects it. Look what James 1:23 says. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself," "and what? He goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he really was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And so what we're finding out is simply this. The law becomes a mirror to tell us God's standard. So when I look into the law, I see God, "Oh, this is the standard you've had for my life. God, I see what you want. If I ignore this, then I forget who I am. And the Bible says, I am created in the image of God. I have been made a son and daughter of God. And so when I look into the law, I see the boundaries that he's setting for my life. I see the standard he's setting for my life. I say, God, I'm just not anybody. God, you've set up healthy boundaries to protect my life, to protect my children, to protect my finances, to protect my health, to protect my marriage, to protect my family. God, you set boundaries there. And your law states them for me, and it puts me there, and I look at it, and I measure myself and remind myself where I'm at. Look what Romans 7:7 says. What shall we say then? Is the law a sin? Is the law a sin? And he answers that question, no, it's not. Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. The law shows me when I'm sinning. The law shows me when I'm sinning against God. The law shows me when I'm falling short and come short before God's standard. The law is what points it out through me. It's what it shows me. Because I wouldn't have known not to covet unless law has said, thou shalt not covet. And so we see this happening. How many look at this statement. The law reflects the parameters of God's desire, but it does not reflect the parameters of his love. This is a very great statement in our life. The law reflects the parameters of God's desires for our life, but it doesn't reflect the parameters of his love. And let me say this to you. How many have teenagers in your house? Raise your hand if you have a teenager in your house. Come on, stretch your hands toward them right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for amazing grace. Teenagers, man, they will really test you, won't they? They will really push you at times. And as parents, we know it's our job to put parameters, to put boundaries with our children, and especially our teenagers. Why? Because we're trying to be the rough schoolmaster. We're trying to be the guardian. You know, we're trying to be this slave master. No, we know that we have got to protect our children. And so we're going to set boundaries that they don't like. We're going to say, be home by a certain time. Nothing good ever happens at midnight. Nothing good happens after. But we know the later it gets, the more chance of something bad happens. We're going to tell you, no, you can't be there without adult supervision. Why? Because we know you get that many kids in one house, and things are not going to go well. We'll have set boundaries. No, that boy is never allowed up in your room. And if you ever shut the door, I will take the door off the hinges. God bless you right now. Why? Because we know that we're setting boundaries because we know what it is. We've walked in their shoes. We know when hormones are flaring. We know when love is in the air. It's hard to make rational decisions. And so we've been there. So we're trying to set parameters in their life to protect them. Now, how many know our children will always break our boundaries, right? Come on, mine did, yours does. They always end up breaking the boundaries we set for them. Let me ask you this. Does it change your love for your child when they break your boundaries? It doesn't, does it? Now, there may be consequences that follow that. And we break God's boundaries. We break the boundaries God set for us. Sometimes we're going to get spiritually grounded. Sometimes we're going to lose the keys to the car. Sometimes we're going to lose our cell phone. Sometimes we're going to lose privileges doing certain things. Why? Because we broke the boundary. But we didn't break God's love. And we don't break the parental love. And the same thing happens in our life. Listen, we don't follow God's commands. And we don't follow his rules and his boundaries. There's going to be consequences. People are going to be hurt. Your reputation is going to be hurt. Things are going to happen that you don't like. And you're going to reap things you don't want to reap in your life. But you haven't destroyed God's love for your life. That's grace. That's grace. But the law was there to keep the boundaries. I mean, they had some really ridiculous laws. I mean, things that we're like, man, this is crazy. Why would you even care about that? But now the longer we go, I mean, some of the things, God was like, you can't even touch meat without washing your hands and preparing it this way and doing it. We're like, what? God, why are you doing that? But now we know if you don't prepare things a certain way that you get worms in the food and things become unhealthy. And they couldn't see that back then. There was a reason. It didn't make a lot of sense why you couldn't do things the way you do. But now we can understand through science and through our advanced technology, there was a reason why God had a reason for doing that. And there's a reason why God set it there, set this perfect standard. We couldn't fulfill it on our own. Only Jesus fulfilled the law. And the great news is this, that you and I have been bought with Jesus' blood, and we can walk now in the promise that Jesus set for you and I. It's the grace. It's the grace. Number three, write this down. The law is a GPS. Come on, how many love, don't you love GPS? Our phones, we got this built-in GPS. We type in the address where we're trying to go. Wow, I mean, we love GPS. Have you ever set in a GPS, maybe if you had it for a couple hours away of a trip, and you're following the GPS to get there, and you decide to take a little restroom break, and so you pull into a convenience store, put the phone in your pocket, and you walk into the store to use the restroom, and all of a sudden you hear, make a U-turn, redirect, 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 turn around, I'm like, I ain't turning around, I'm using the bathroom. This would not be a good time to turn around at this moment, just saying. Not doing a U-turn in the bathroom. Siri, shut up, you know. It's yelling at me, redirect, redirect, you're going the wrong way, turn around, make a U-turn. See, this is what happens with the law. The more I allow the law to be a guide in my life, the more it screams at me, turn around, redirect. You're heading for disaster here. You're heading for hardship here. There's going to be construction going this way. You're going the wrong direction. Get back in your lane. Get back going the right way. Point north again. Quit going south. Get yourself going back north again. The law continues to redirect me. The Bible says in Psalms 119, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is what the law does. It guides me. It sheds light on where God's trying to take me. It's something he's trying to do. You want to have a great marriage? Follow the law. You want to have a business success? Follow the law. You want to have financial success? Follow the law. You want to have great children? Follow the law. You want to have a strong marriage? Follow the law. It's there for our direction. It's there for our correction. It's there to give us the guide that God wants us to have. The law will guide and direct. Number four, the last thing I'm going to give you today. The law is a measure. The law is a measure. The law helps us measure our progress. The law helps us measure our progress. Everybody say, our progress. Now put your hand on your heart and say, my progress. The law is for us to measure our own progress. Let me say what the law is not. The law is not for you to measure somebody else's progress. See, we want to use the law to measure everybody else's progress but our own. And what we got to realize is that God gave us the law for us to measure our own progress. We should be doing better. Every time we take the test, we should be doing better. You know, in high school, I had a teacher one time. She gave us a pop quiz, and she gave us a test. She didn't give us a warning. And so here we go. Boy, you know, hope you guys have been paying attention. I'm going to give you a test today. Take out a pen and paper. And she read off the questions, and we had to write out the answers. And when we got done, she said, now listen, now we're going to grade the test. And so we all started to hand them to the person beside us because we thought we were going to grade each other's. And he said, no. Keep your own test today. Today, you're going to grade your own test. And I was like, all right, there's something up to this. What is she trying to do? This is really not a test about a test. This is a test about ethics. That's what I thought. This is a test about ethics. She wants to see who's actually going to grade their test right and see if anybody cheats for themselves or gives themselves a better grade. So I'm like, I'm way ahead of you, teach. I got this one. So she was giving out, and if I even thought I had the answer wrong, I marked it wrong, you know, and I filled my paper up as many wrong as I could. I was like, I'm going to pass this test on the right way, because she's going to be judging us to see if we really did it right or wrong. When we got done, she goes, all right, now, close that now. Let's open up to chapter 23, whatever it was. They said, we're going to start talking about this. We're like, wait, do you want us to turn in our test? She goes, no, this test wasn't for me. This test was for you. She said, this test was for you to measure where you are. This test to let you know exactly how much you know about the subject coming up. This test for you to know exactly how much you know. Before we take the main test, I wanted you to see where you was at. And this test was only for you to measure yourself. You see, the law is a test for us to continue measure ourselves to see where we're standing up according to God's will. And what should happen is this. Every time I take the test, I should be getting a little bit higher score. Listen, if I keep flunking the same test, if I keep missing the same question, if I keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again, then something needs to change in my life. I'm not passing that test. I need to begin this. I should always see at least a slight improvement every time I take that test. None of us will ever make 100%. We're not going to get there. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. But I should be growing. I should be growing and maturing. I've been taking this test a long time. How long am I going to flunk this test? How long am I going to say, God, no, you've called me to be a bigger man than this. You called me to be a stronger woman than this. God, it's time for me to raise the standard in my life. It's time for me to pass this test. I'm not just to go along with everybody else. God, I'm measuring myself. He said the word of the Lord, he goes, the word of God is a sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a weapon for us to use in battle. So when we're fighting the enemy, we can quote scripture and it becomes a sword to us to use in battle. But what it shouldn't be is this. The word of God should never be used to cut somebody else down. I don't use it to, well, you're not following God's will. Oh, you're not living up to God's standard. You aren't. Well, that church over there, they don't follow God. And this church over here, they're doing this. And we want to use the word of the Lord, the law of God, instead of using it for a sword to defeat the enemy, we want to use it as a hatchet to chop up other Christians. Bad idea. That's not what God wants us to do. The law, the word of the Lord is there for my weapon to defeat the enemy. And it's there for me to guide myself and to look and see how am I living to the standard of the Lord? How am I following God's standard for my life? Now, today, I believe God's got a standard he wants for us. And so I'm going to need a few people to help me take a test today. So can I get a few guys? Come here, Corey, give me a hand. Tim, give me a hand. Pastor Jeff, give me a hand. You three guys come and stand in the middle. You guys have been taking tests for a long time, so come on up here. Pass one of those out to each one of them. Now, as you guys have taken the test already, and I'm going to reveal your scores to everybody out here, okay? This is your score. So first of all, Pastor Jeff said, Pastor Gene, I was really busy. My boys are, you know, coaching my boys in soccer and t-ball. We're going 1,000 miles an hour every day. I just didn't have time to study for the test. And to be honest with you, I just took the test. Didn't even study. And I just barely didn't pass, but I made a 59%. How many know what a 59% is? Was a what? An F. So I'm going to use a green ink because I don't want to do damage to his psyche, his long-term psyche here. So we're going to give him an F. He got an F at 59%. Corey's like, all right, Pastor Gene, I studied a little bit, but man, you know, I already knew a little bit of the subject already, and I studied just a little bit, but I didn't give it my all. I was busy. I had a lot of contracts to do late at night. I was trying to work out some financing for people to get some new cars, and but because it was a subject I'm familiar with, I did okay. I made an 81%. How many know what an 81% is? That is a B minus, right? A B minus. But how many know according to God's standard, whether you miss one or you miss all of them, you get a what? F. Even though he made a B minus maybe, he still made an F in life. Now Tim is our book nerd here. Tim likes to study. He believes in education. He's like, I'm going to set a good example for my son. He's in college. I'm going to study just so my son's not going to be upset at me. So I'm going to show a good example. And he studied really hard, and he overachieved. And LaDonna worked with him day and night, and he quizzed, and he passed all the quiz. And he took the test, and he made a 98%. Tim, we're proud of you. You made a 98%. Now, 98% on our grade scale would be what? An A+. But how many know, if you miss one or two, on God's grade scale, what do you get? F. Big, fat F. You see, on the test of life, all of us are taking the test of life, we all get an F.
None of us are good enough on our own. None of us pass the test on our own. So what did God do? God sent his son Jesus. And the Bible says that he took our life test. And he was the only one that's ever done it. And he's the only one that will ever do it. He's the only one who was able to complete life's test. It says that he was tempted in every way that we was, but yet he sinned not. And so because of that, Jesus made 100%. He made an A+. Jesus passed the life test as an A+. And everybody now who applies the blood of Jesus to their life, let me give you some great news. The Bible says now that the Father grades you and I on a curve. He doesn't give us our test score. He now says, son, get my son's test score. And he now comes to our life. And he draws a big A+ on our test score, our life's test score. Why? Not because of anything we did to deserve it, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now you and I are able to pass our test. Come on, give these guys a hand clap. Thank you. This is the beauty of grace versus the law. The law says, man, I've fallen short. I didn't pass. But grace says, but you get my son's test score. Grace says now you've been given on the curve. You've been graded on the curve. And now you receive the test score of my son. Setting us free. Bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the most important question. We ask it almost every week here at Destiny. It's the question is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior of your life? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says, in order for us to be in right standing with God, we must first believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must confess with our mouth. We must say it with our mouth. Not only believe it, but confess it. Today, if you're here and I want you to bow your heads and nobody's looking but me, say, Pastor, today I want to receive Jesus in my life. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But I want to give you a chance just to respond where you're sitting this morning. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Today's my day. Can you just raise your hand and let me see it? Say it to me. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today? You want to join us? Come on, raise your hand. If that's you, say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Today's my day. It's the last time. Raise it right now. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it where I can see it. Yeah, I see your hand in the back. Thank you. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say this prayer out loud together. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, big, yeah, it's a big thing. It's a big deal. This is why we're here today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, we're going to have this garage door opened up in the hub in the back. We'd love to give you a free Bible to put in your hands. There's some other information we'd love to give you today as a free gift. So proud of you for making a decision. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. How many today say, Pastor, I'm thanking God for his grace. I thank God for his grace in my life. I thank, man, the light's coming on for my life. I'm seeing how big God's grace is for my life, and it's transforming me. I'm understanding that God's grace is transforming. Come on, let's sing this song about God's amazing grace together. Let's make it our prayer. Your hands. I want to pray for you before we leave. Can we just open our hands with God? God, I thank you, God, for your amazing grace, transforming us from the law, but God, overwhelming us with your grace today. God, I thank you that the law shows us your standard, shows us your perfection, but we thank you that grace comes beside us and it pushes us forward. It pushes us, God, to live for you in a way we've never been before. Inspiring us, God. Setting us free. God, we thank you for your amazing grace in our life that sets us free, that transforms us.
in Jesus' name. If you receive this word over your life today, can you put your hands together and tell God you love him? Come on. Pastor Jeff, come here this morning. Listen, before you leave, real quickly, we're going to give away this ball package to the ladies. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do that. Pastor Justin, come and draw. Shake it up real good. Shake it up really good. Anybody else, put your name in. This is it. Shake it up really good. Hold it up high. We can't see. Come on now. Shake it up really good. All right, put your hands in there and draw one out and read it off that name to us. Tracy Gilstrap, where are you, Tracy? All right. Enjoy that day spa today. God bless you. Hey, don't forget to tell your mom, happy Mother's Day. We love you. Have a great afternoon.